reading that we have this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, and of course it's the Christmas story. And in this, and it reads as this. So, for those who have Scripture with you, Luke 1 and beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So this is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Amen. So we've just heard that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth. The angel came to Mary and said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by his words and began to wonder about the meaning. As I've said many times, when I read Scripture and come across a part of Scripture that troubles me, I have learnt to stop and to ask God why that troubles me. Why have I got stuck on that? Why has there been a chink in me that says you need to investigate this further? And the words that created that bit of a pause was, "But she was greatly troubled by his words." Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever had a visitation of the angel Gabriel. And I'm not discounting that there may be someone here who has. Because angels do indeed visit people. We read about them in Scripture. And I would venture to say that if it's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then angels still visit people. And I wouldn't be blown away by that. I would say, well, God is trying to get our attention. He does it in lots of different ways. I have a memory of somebody in my family who said to me, "Oh, yeah, but God never talks to me." And this person is a very faithful person, and I disputed that, because God speaks to us through his word, God speaks to us through other people, God speaks to us through the smile of a baby, and God speaks to us through times of trial and tribulation. And so I said, God does speak. So therefore, the visitation of an angel is not outside the realms of what God can do. We'll hear later on in this scripture, it says that nothing is impossible to God. And so simply because we can't comprehend it, doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So, My understanding is that Gabriel, well, I'll tell you what Gabriel's not. He's not 5'2", and he's not the scrawny little guy with wings. Gabriel is huge. Gabriel is, when Gabriel is in your presence, you know that Gabriel is in your presence. And so it's not the fear in her that is Gabriel being that fear. We also need to put into context what's happening. I mentioned at 9 o'clock this morning that the context of the story for us is that this was 2,100 years ago. That's the context. So we are post-birth, we're post-ministry, we're post-Easter death and resurrection, we're post-ascension, Spirit coming upon the church, so we're post-Pentecost, and also that 2,000 years of analysis and research and discussion and argument and doctrine and all these things, that's how we read this story today. We read this with all that. But what I'm encouraging you to do this morning is to try, if we can, to put all that aside and actually be there with Mary. Because all Mary would have known at that time is Messiah is coming. The Jewish nation were waiting for Messiah to come. They were waiting and waiting. They had read the prophecies. They had understood what the prophets had said, that Messiah was coming. And now this angel turns up to this 14-year-old unwed girl and says, you are going to carry the Christ child. Whoa, that's quite big.
Really? He says in his biggest understatement voice he can make.
So she was greatly troubled by these words, not by Gabriel, not by what was it was the words. And what were the words? The words were, greetings, favored one. They were the words. Not you're going to, he hasn't said you're going to carry the Christ child. He hasn't said you're going to be pregnant. He hasn't said you're going to be the mother of the Son of God. All he has said at this stage is, greetings, favored one. And she is greatly troubled by his words and began to wonder about the meaning of the greeting. I'm wondering if that strikes a chord with anyone else here this morning. If you heard an angel of the Lord saying, greetings, favored one, would those words create some fear in you? What does he mean by that? What, me? And so I'm going to personalize this. Sorry, I can't say Laurie or KJ or anything. I've got to personalize. Greetings, Russell, favored one. Not sure necessarily that all those words should actually go together, I've kind of thought. Greetings, favored one. And so I've considered, God would see me as, I don't know if you've ever thought like that. And like Mary, God has a task for me to do that maybe he thinks I'm up for, good enough for, talented for, gifted for. I'm not sure that God his choice is right. I want to share a wee story with you. I'll take you back to 1996, and it was November-ish, somewhere around there. And there was a CD that was doing the rounds then, and it's called A Very Special Christmas. I don't know if any of you have got a copy of it. It's got a red cover on it. And it was a whole lot of secular artists who had done Christmas carols. And one of those on there was a guy named Bob Seger. And I've got a lot of time for Bob Seger. I love his rock and roll, and we played it a lot when I was in the band. And he does a song on this album. What happened in the November of 96 was that I had begun the process of my application, and I think I'd been accepted at that stage to go to what was then New Zealand Bible College. It became Laidlaw later on. And so November 96, I'm driving down State Highway 1, a place called Chain Hill Bridge, which when you drop down into Mosgiel. And on the CD was playing the song by Bob Seger. And the song was this. It was The Little Drummer Boy. And I loved it. I'm a drummer myself, but I loved this song. And the reason I'm sharing you with it with you this morning is because of there's lines in the song, and it says this. Baby Jesus, pa-rupa-pum-pum, I am a poor boy too, pa-rupa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring, pa-rupa-pum-pum, that's fit to give a king, pa-rupa-pum-pum, rupa-pum-pum, rupa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you, pa-rupa-pum-pum, on my drum? And what struck me and still strikes me today when I read that is that I came to the realization that I had nothing to bring that was worthy to give a king. I was a pretty bruised guy in 96. I'd had 9 redundancies by that stage. Sweet Talk had just finished. The duo I was in, we never made it to where I thought we might have made it. My marriage was good and had great kids, but I had nothing worth bringing to a king, nothing that he could use. And I remember crying quite bitterly as I came down there, what's this? How dare I even consider that he might be calling me into something because I've failed at everything else that I've done. And then God being God, the song continued. Then he nodded, pa-rupa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rupa-pum-pum. I played my drum for him, pa-rupa-pum-pum. And I played my best for him, pa-rupa-pum-pum. Rupa-pum-pum, rupa-pum-pum. And then he smiled at me, pa-rupa-pum-pum, me and my drum. And I realized that I had nothing to bring this king but me. And it was warts and all. And I came to realize then that he gave me those warts. And that was what I was to bring to him. My warts and my failures and me and my willingness to be obedient and to just go where he called me to go. God's brought you here this morning, warts and all. And as we prepare to celebrate this Christ child coming to us, I wonder whether we need to listen to to what the scripture says. Do not be afraid. The scripture says this is, you know, sorry. And denominational church do it more often than some others, is that we corporatize our worship and we corporatize our readings. When you read through the prayer book, as beautiful a document as it is, it's we and us and them, not I. But God sees us as I. God sees us as, when he says he's going to build his church, it's the ecclesia that he's building, not this building. It's nothing to do with that. It's the people. I will build my people, my whānau. I'll build my kids. That's what the scripture actually says. And so put your name in here. I'll use mine because, but put your name in here. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Russell, for you have found favor with God." However he found favor with me, I don't know. But this is truth. Because what I came to discover was, actually, I am precious to him. And God's invited you here this morning, and congratulations for taking up his invitation, because he wants you to understand that as Mary did, when we profess that we receive the Holy Spirit, then we too are carrying the Christ child. We too are carrying Jesus with us when we go. So that when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth and John in vitro leaps in her womb, so should be as we carry Christ into this world. Because the greatest gift we can give this community, this world, is us and all we are in Christ. For God so loved the world. And I've mentioned before that the reason it's written like that is because John didn't have enough paper to put everybody's name down. But it could read that for God so loved Philippa. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned a name. That he gave his one and only son. That's Christmas. He loved each of us so much that he sent his son at Christmas. As that beautiful video, they won't be expecting that. Tell you what else they're not expecting. There's no plan B. This is it. This is what God has put his hope in, is you. And he's equipped you. And he's preparing you. And he has faith in you and hope in you and trusts you and is confident that you can do it. And so maybe this Christmas we get ourselves a cold drink and sit underneath a tree and contemplate being able to say, "Be it unto me according to your word." This Christmas. Amen.